You are listening to Let's Go JoJo, the weekly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure podcast from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. On today's show, we have Niall Flanagan.
Hello.
Anthony Askew.
Evening.
Dwayne Maloney. Dwayne.
Hello.
Are you there, Dwayne?
You're very quiet.
What the hell? I have the microphone okay, I'm going to basically eat it. All right, how's that?
Doing it.
Are you the real Dwayne or an imposter?
Anyway, and me, Brian Smith. I'm not editing any of that. This week's episode, Kanum Zenyatta and Thoth's Mondatta. Or Oingo and Boingo, depending on how you feel. But first, the week in JoJo's news. First item, the 9/11 prediction conspiracy has been removed from the anime adaptation of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
It's the government trying to keep it quiet, man.
Government, man.
Don't say that, they'll be on
Iraqi was right on the log. He could have stopped it. He tried to stop it. But it wouldn't let him.
So, in case you do not know, and I'd forgotten last week when it actually came, the scene in question came up. In the original comic, the manga artist who meets his untimely end against a telegraph pole had 9/11 written on his shirt. Mm-hmm. And in Boingo's drawing of his accident, there is a plane in the background.
Also, he's impaled on one tower, and there's another tower that the plane is over. And by tower, I mean telegraph pole, which is a different thing.
It is.
This isn't Egypt, which is practically the Middle East. It's like a few countries over. It's Afghanistan, where Al-Qaeda is coming from. This goes all the way to the top.
He predicted it correctly, but he had the rotation of the Earth calculated incorrectly, which is an easy mistake to make, you know. It's like, oh, it happens in Egypt. All right.
But obviously, conspiracy theory, popular enough that for taste, they removed it in the anime adaptation.
Mm.
Yeah, there's enough horrible shit going on in the world. We don't need this to muck up our
fun
cartoons with. Come on, man.
Yeah, you don't want to spoil scenes where a man's head has been impaled on a spike.
Yeah, I mean, call it political has gone mad, but you know, when this I can't remember the days when you could a guy get impaled, disemboweled, dismembered, you know, and it'd be a good time for all the whole family to get around the TV on a Sunday evening and get around to see the latest celebrity getting impaled in a telegraph pole. I mean, what's wrong with that? So it's got to be, what does it mean, man? What's the symbolism, man? And I don't know.
It's good, clean fun, that's all.
Yeah. Come on.
Good, clean fun. And when did this comic depict it? When was the comic released?
1990.
It's definitely predicted.
Take away... take away one of the zeros and turn that 9 into a 1. It's also a 9/11. Oh, my God.
Anyway, talking of national disasters, the other bit of news is that Cancol beat JoJo's in the Torn ratings.
Oh, come
what?
On.
For the first time, it wasn't number 1.
I guess that thing is an unstoppable juggernaut.
Have you watched any of the Cancol anime?
I saw a bit of Silent Service. Is that like Cancol? That's the closest I've got.
Maybe. I've not seen the anime, so I don't know what the plot is about these anthropomorphic ships.
Are they modern day battleships, or is this one of those things where Japan was totally on the side of the good guys in World War II?
I think they're mainly World War II battleships, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong.
Is this the thing where little girls are battleships?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, I think it's the other way around. Okay. Battleships are little girls.
And now I'm even more confused.
I don't know which I prefer, if either. None.
I've seen someone reviewing the video game of it, but I know nothing about it.
Yeah, they're moe anthropomorphisms of World War II naval warships, which are depicted as cute girls known as fleet girls. That's what Wikipedia tells me.
So, are there a bunch of sailors who man the little girl? And-
no, don't give them ideas. Don't give them ideas.
Sure, that was made into a dinty bag between a half hour of thing here.
Apparently, in the anime, human girls don weaponized outfits that possess the spirit of historical naval vessels.
But okay, that makes more sense.
But I thought they already are the battleship, so what can they...
Well, do they transform?
In the anime, they're humans who sort of take on the attributes of battleships rather than the other way around.
Do they swim around? What? There's so many questions.
Well, there's
we don't need answers.
I think it's on Crunchyroll, so you can check it out.
Again,
that's why I did so well. People had so many questions, they just had to tune in.
Again, man, with good, clean fun. Like, how is... like five guys going to Egypt to kill a vampire, getting beaten in the rings by this mess of a series.
It might be good. It might be.
You don't know it's good.
I know it's not good.
And that's the week in JoJo's news. There were some other things which I just could not make sense of. There was something about a JoJo's actor doing something, and even when I looked at the thing he'd done, it even made less sense than trying to read the article through Google Translate. It wasn't very JoJo's related, so I left it out.
Okay.
It was like some sort of advert for Epson. Or something or other. But I wasn't...
He was dressed as Jotaro?
No, it was just, it came up because it mentioned that was his a recent role he was in. So it wasn't very JoJo's related. But you know what is JoJo's related? This week's episode! Dwayne, take it away with the synopsis.
Right, so we join Oingo and Boingo back in the Oingo Boingo Brothers show. I'm going to call them that because they didn't manage to remove all the titles off the kids' comic. So I'm just going to call them that. where they're coming back on the bus. They're 4 hours late. And their powers are revealed by them explaining to the audience what their powers are. The kid can read, or the kid's comic book fills in a little bit ahead of the future every now and again, kind of randomly, in that bizarre art. And Oingo's the older one, Boingo's the younger one. Oingo can change his face, which I'm not sure, is that even a stand? Because generally a stand is like a thing, but his stand lets him change his face.
It's like a really, really small version of Yellow Temperance. it also can't eat people, but it's handy.
So it's not as good. Disguises.
Hey, Dio arranged all his stand users by theme, not by usefulness.
Yeah, you think he would have kept the last nine guys for the best, but no.
No, it's just the last nine are the ones who all invoke Egyptian gods.
Yeah.
not because of how useful their stands are.
But the fix that they're going to go to a cafe and get poisoned with tea. So the Oingo Boingo brothers, they head to a random cafe, and the guys randomly pick that cafe by Ponderoff throwing a cigarette. Has he ever smoked before? Is this new?
He smoked.
Yeah, because okay. I think that was the point where we realized, oh, they're only editing Jotaro smoking because he's underage. Yeah.
But
that was foreshadowing that cigarette was. Later on in the episode.
it was also kind of shown that like fate is on their side. And it's just like, yeah, just follow the manga and we'll be fine. Yeah. So after they take the restaurant, the guys all order three teas. And then Joseph figures out, well, we could totally be poisoned, you guys. We'll have three Cokes that are bottled. They're like, oh my God, we need to. And he's freaking out in the restaurant, Oingo. Because he needs to poison them with tea. So it predicts correctly. But then a guy in the restaurant is like, you serve warm cola? That's messed up. Which is weird, actually, because I thought Joseph liked warm cola. Anyway, doesn't matter.
But it's almost as if Oingo doesn't believe his brother's powers work.
I guess he just, he believes in his own self-confidence of being able to change his face. But yeah, it turns out like they go like, okay, we will have three teas. So they're there drinking the tea. And then doesn't Iggy show up and make them all do a spit take?
He steals a cake. Yes, someone's
he
tea.
Does. Yeah. And the best thing is because Iggy, it's been so long with no Iggy in that episode, I'd forgotten Iggy existed.
Yes.
Because it was so much like some of the earlier episodes when they're just wandering around in the town they first arrived in. So when Iggy showed up, that was the first point at which I just cracked up. Ridiculously. I was like, oh yes, Iggy. Iggy's also, in this.
He looks entirely different from the last episode.
There's no consistency. It's wonderful. It really set up that kind of like them wandering in around the town kind of thing, because I think they very quickly explained that they've left the lads in the hospital.
Yeah.
Kakugin may be blinded. Dun, dun, dun. But yeah, so they did drink the tea, but the panels didn't get I guess they didn't draw themselves in where they do the spit take yet. So the plan B becomes, when they're going to visit their friends in the hospital, he's going to plant a bomb that looks like an orange, very specific, in their car. And then that's going to blow Jotaro's face in half.
Harsh.
And Oigo takes this very literally. So he gets he hollows out an orange.
Well, he has to follow by the thing. Like, you know.
Well, he's not following it. It was already predetermined.
Yeah,
oh, but, he'd already met an orange bomb.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
Well, no, because he believes he has to do the things in the book rather than the book is predicting what reality is.
That's probably why he doesn't believe his brother's power. He's just like, oh, this
is just telling me what to do rather than this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's true, because he does read, it's like, and then this nerd walks down the street and Oingo punches him right in his fucking nerd face. And he's like, oh, there he is. I hate this guy.
Well, the book
is just following the book.
The book told me to do it.
That won't hold up in court, Oingo. Yeah, so Oingo thinks that his Boingo's stand tells him what to do rather than predicts the future accurately. So while he's planting the orange bomb in the car, the two lads find him, and I assume think it's some guy trying to rob their car or something. But he pops out, and he's dressed himself as Jotaro, who isn't there for some reason. I guess he's hanging off, trying not to be seen with these two assholes, so he looks cooler in town. But he's dressed like, it's a really bad disguise because he's wearing the same clothes. He says he can change his height, weight, face, all that jazz, but he couldn't create Jotaro's hat and presumably has never seen Jotaro's hair because we've only ever seen it once. So he's shaped his hair into a very tall version of Jotaro's hat.
That is such a great meta joke on the fact that Jotaro's hat looks like hair.
Yeah.
It is quite brilliant. it was also nice to see that the reason he wears such a tall baseball cap is that he has the same height of hair as his brother, which I was like, oh, okay. I guess they just both have really tall hair. So the lads seemingly have assumed that this is Jotaro. Like, come on, we're going to the hospital. He's like, no, I think I'll walk. And Polnareff is insisting, come on. No, it'll be fine. Come on. So he's in the back of the car with a bag of oranges and one exploding orange, just terrified. So he's constantly like working out plans. And this is really a fun one because I forget the voice actor who does Jotaro, but he gets like to do a lot more, well, talking for one, and also gets to show a bit more range.
Daisuke Ono.
Ono.
Yeah, yeah. He gets to show a really kind of panicked version of Jotaro's voice, which is pretty fun. But yeah, he decides he'll lob the orange out the window so he just doesn't get his face exploded because he figures out, wait a minute, I got Jotaro's face. And we saw Jotaro's face get exploded or exploded in half. That's such an odd thing. But anyway. So he throws out the window, thinks he's safe, and then it's like, oh, Iggy's here, and he brought an orange. It's like, oh, fucking goddamn.
Iggy again.
Is Iggy just going to be the deus ex machina in this?
Well, I was half expecting Iggy to recognize the good smell.
That's what I thought.
Bosh.
But he can change his smell as well.
Water is smell.
So. That's
yes,
right.
Yeah.
You tell everything.
So it's more... It's a more powerful stand than you thought, Dwayne.
Yeah.
Ooh, he can alter his smell.
Yeah.
But how powerful.
I think Iggy probably wouldn't give a toss either way. You know how he is, you know.
It's true. He wasn't being helpful. He did just fall asleep in the back of the car straight away. Yeah.
And apparently can't smell explosives. Well, maybe the smell of the orange peel is enough to hide explosives.
It's not a sniffer
What
dog.
Would an explosive smell like?
It's a tip for terrorists out there. Can pick up more information from JoJo's about terrorism.
Oh, dear.
Get that zest.
Step one, acquire stands. Step two, terrorism.
Change smell. Right, so he's freaking out in the back of the car, and it's not entirely sure, but the Joseph and Polnareff seem really suspicious of him, and they keep asking him to do weird things. So it's like, are they testing him or are they just being their normal stupid selves? It's basically impossible to tell. And it's like, hey, Jotaro, do that trick you do. And it's like, what trick? And it's the trick of letting a cigarette kind of fall backwards in your mouth while it's lit. It's like, oh, yeah, I could totally do that. Easy. It's like, and it's just him pumping himself up to do this. Oh, brilliant. Do it with 5 ones. Great. Oh, man, that was great. Now drink this orange juice and don't let the cigarettes go out. He's just freaking the crap out in the back of the car, and it's such comedy. Like the music in this episode is great. It reminded me of, like, some old Tom and Jerry or, you know, kind of Looney Tunes type stuff.
Yeah,
it really kind of emphasized the bizarre situation. So eventually Oingo comes up with a plan of, I'm going to pretend I need to take a crap, and he starts flailing around in the car like a madman. So yeah, he's to run out behind a rock in the desert when they're nearly at the hospital, and he thinks he's home free, but Polnareff thinks his orange was in Iggy's mouth and it's probably all gross because it's on the ground, so he fucks it out the window. And the great comedic thing of him stepping on the orange and it just going like, ah, fuck. And then his face gets blown in half.
We should say, all through this, Boingo is basically going, why, brother, all you got to do is not have
his face.
Taking the disguise off, and then it will be Jotaro that will happen to.
Yeah, exactly. It can't possibly happen to you if you don't have Jotaro's face.
But it was already decided that's how...
No, it said Jotaro's face is going to get blown in too.
Yes, but...
So if he didn't have Jotaro's face, then somehow, by fate, it could be like actual Jotaro. But with Oingo with his face, it's 50-50. And it's more than 50 his way because he has the explosive orange in the car with him.
Yeah.
Oh, the future. It depends how strict... the future. It's this time travel and prediction stuff.
It predicts it accurately, but not particularly well. And yeah, if Oingo just understood how it worked, I figured he'd be a lot better off. But so he gets his face blown in half, but somehow he's still alive.
Yeah.
And his brother finds him and decides, like, he's really proud of his little brother because he used to be shy and reserved and everything. It's like, I'm going to fucking murder all these grown men.
I will avenge you.
But unfortunately, the nerd from earlier who got punched in the face came with a bunch of burly dudes to beat the shit out of a guy with half his face, with his face blown in two, and a little kid. So when they arrive at the hospital, it's like, hey, Jotaro, I thought you were taking a crap behind a rock in the desert. How are you doing here? And he's like, what? Oh, brilliant. Oranges. I love these. there's so much like background comedy in this. I love the ambulance coming in. It's like, oh, Jesus, look at those guys. They got messed up.
the run that Oingo makes when he leaves the car, thinking he's escaped.
It looks really good, actually. All the budget for the episode went into that because it was like mostly comprised of still shots of like the comic and him panicking. Put all the money into his panic and run away at the end. You know, I'm free. All I gotta do is get behind that rock. Once I get behind that rock, I'm gonna take the disguise off. And you know what's gonna happen. You know, he's just like, just take it off now. They can't see your face. Your back's to them. To get your back to them. They won't notice. Just do it now.
And I was wondering why there wasn't an intro bit on this, was there? The opening song.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, why isn't there an opening song? And then the freaking closing credit song. Amazing.
It's because and this it is suddenly becomes,
yeah, it's this... an episode of the Oingo Boingo Brothers show. what a great episode.
Yeah, this is easily the best one so far. In my opinion. I was just cackling all the way through. The cigarette trick is made famous by Tom Malika. I don't know if you've ever seen him do it, the magician.
Never heard of him.
He was popular in the 80s and 90s. I remember seeing him on various variety shows.
Yeah, I guess this one isn't a reference to a horror movie at all.
Well,
oh,
my first thought was it a reference to Darkman? But Darkman and this came out about exactly the same time.
Yeah. Well, Darkman, he's freaking out because he's not good at being in disguise, even though that's his power.
I can't remember Darkman being anything
it's
like
it. It's Liam Neeson. He's amazing in it.
Yes,
I remember.
Yes.
He
takes on other people's faces to get revenge for his disfigurement.
Yeah, also he's in so much pain that he has like strength of top seven men or something like that.
And I think he in turn is a reference to the pulp character, the Avenger, who had something happen to his face and his face was like malleable. So I think this is also where Clayface came from.
Was he also bad at being in disguise? Because then it would totally be a reference.
He was good at being in disguise, but he had like his face was like paralyzed, but he could like mold it into other people's faces.
Okay.
Oh, is that like false face then? Like before Clayface, you had false face.
Well, I think the first Clayface was like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Boris Karloff one.
Or that one guy from James Bond Jr. who had like nanomachines in his face, and they were like, no. tiny little motors, and they like make his face move around to get different shapes.
That would be an agony. It'd be an absolute agony.
But yeah, I didn't think. What about the book predicting things? That seems like that must be.
Oh, that's got to have been used before.
Something.
I don't know. Yeah. Nostradamus.
Again, it could be like a monkey paw thing where this is what's going to happen, but it doesn't turn out the way you think it's going to happen.
Mm. I'm going to type something in similar haunted, to that. Haunted comic book now, but I bet that's only going to give me things about multiversity.
Yeah, I mean, like the whole episode, I was thinking, did Joseph use his stand to predict that they were going to get a guy coming with them in the car dressed as them? Because they're like, hey, are you an imposter?
No, Connor, I think they're just idiots.
Stupid. No, they didn't know. They didn't know they defeated the two villains. So they're going to be thinking, like, man, I wonder who these last two guys Dio has. They must be pretty badass.
Yeah, they must have realized that. So they should have guessed the end and realized, oh, it's like, we're missing two. I mean, they don't even do anything. It's all the two guys is undone by their own scheme.
The only thing they've met is a weird shopkeeper, which they've met millions of at this stage. Some of them being villains, not many of them. But Jotaro was acting weird that one day, but he never really talks about it because he doesn't really talk. That's it. That's all they're aware of what happened. And there's so many brilliant moments of Jotaro, the way you've crossed your thumbs with your hands. And it's like, duh. It's like, oh my god, does he cross it with his right thumb on top? And it's like, ah, you used to be a woman in your former life.
that is such a thing kids were then going to do to their mates after they read that chapter.
If they've read the latest chapter before them, yeah.
Yeah. So which way do you do yours then? Let's look at I was definitely a woman in my former life.
I was definitely a woman as well. I've already tried. I'm a woman.
Are you all left-handed though? Because I go right-handed.
I'm right-handed.
I'm right-handed as well. But the left one goes on top of the itself.
So yeah, Paul Ref must be wrong. Right. First time that's
Paul
ever
Ref
been
is
said.
Right, I'm sure.
Damn him.
Hey, we've got to discuss the most important thing from this episode, and that is right. Boingo's laugh.
I was going to try and do it for the intro when you ended, just went, I wanted to do, but I thought, no, it's a horrible sound.
It is. That overtook Enya and the baby as my favourite vocal performances.
Are they all trying to outdo each other? It's amazing.
Yeah, this is Motoko Kumai doing the voice of Boingo, and she was Lee in Cardcaptor Sakura, Samomu in Chobits, and Choco Love in Shaman King.
So probably no one who had a really weird laugh.
I can't remember how Choco Love laughed. He was pretty bored a lot. Well, yeah, he was a very racist character design. I'm not sure if he was a racist character.
Love.
Yeah, from that name, I can just, yeah. Mm.
Also, Lee like, never laughed, I think, in Kakura Sakura, so we never know.
No, he was quite a glum kid, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And of course, I try to make him the main character in the cut dub version.
I'm liking how much, I've forgotten how much that it's kind of focusing on the villains in this new arc. This is pretty fun.
It is, because, yeah, they're literally the main characters, but again, it's about villains who are sort of fearing the main characters almost.
Well, the last couple of guys got murdered, so I'm not surprised.
At least this doesn't get like a beat down from Star Platinum, you know. maybe being blown up by an orange bomb would probably be a faster way to go.
Well, I mean, like, he did survive. They did get him to a hospital, so I'm kind of glad they survived, because it's just like, yeah, I like these guys way too much to see him killed off.
Well, Boingo will return in Thunderbolt. he'll be back with an unlikely new partner later on down the line. Also, I was liking as well, like Oing was in the car, and the guy just drives person. Are you really Jotaro? You're not a fake guy. And he's just constantly, but he's often just going, no, I'm totally Jotaro. Totally, like, check it out. You know, Harry, dare I say. That's what I say all the time, right? Totally me. What are you guys talking about?
So was the nerd meant to be anyone?
No, he's just some nerd walking
down the
street.
I thought he was like a little nod to, I don't know, someone Because he looked very detailed for just a random... Well, then again, he's not a random guy. He was a pretty big part of the story by the end.
If you went back to watch the preview version of this episode and the last one, I mean, the guy they meet who randomly gets murdered, it looked like he had a design going to him as well. It's like, oh, that looks like an important character. No, he's dead. Oh, this geek looks important. No, he's just going to beat him up with some burly guys.
I would beat him up because of that haircut he had. Awful haircut. I would nearly accost him for that alone.
I'm wondering if Thoth, the idea of Thoth, is from the Creepshow films.
What was the deal in those?
They're anthology films, but in the first one, the stories in the comic book, in the framing sequence, come to life.
Oh, okay. That would make sense.
Potentially, yeah.
Oh, we never said they're the Egyptian gods of what? Knowledge and...
creation.
Yeah. So, again, pretty good... One pretty good stand, I think, anyway, but just used really poorly.
Yeah.
I guess that's more Oingo's fault than Boingo's.
Yeah. I would rather the face change. In the real world, I would choose to be able to change my face. Because the stuff you get in the comic is pretty gruesome. I don't know when people are dying. If it was general predictions, that would be good. But the stuff you'd be seeing in that is pretty brutal.
Also, it's kind of vague, and it's done in that weird art style.
I was thinking as well, I'm guessing Boingo's stand is manifesting in the form of that comic he has, right?
Yeah, yes. that is literally his stand.
So how did the manga artist in the previous episode even see it? Unless he was a stand user.
Haven't we seen some other stands which are visible?
It could be possessing a blank
like
book.
Strength. We've seen strength, possibly.
Yeah.
Not only has it been seen,
all those sailors walk around in it.
Yeah,
that's true.
maybe it's a possession stand, like strength.
Or maybe just again the rules only work when you want them to work. probably the simplest explanation.
Because I was thinking, once that comic book gets full, like, how does he have to like put in some new pages or what?
It's probably a Death Note. There's infinite pages.
But like when the manga guy, the guy who was into manga, the preview one, he started at the start of the book, and it was basically Oingo and Boingo coming to Egypt. You know,
it
started at their start of the story. So presumably, I just figured he bought a new book, and all of a sudden it was the predicting manga book.
Yeah, he's probably got volumes of them on his shelves.
So would you watch an Oingo Boingo show where they ineffectually try and murder people?
Depending on which art style it is.
just the opening and ending sequences are going to be in that art style.
That's okay, then. It's an interesting style, but it's some horrible...
It's so ugly.
Joseph looks horrible. He's got weird things on his hat.
Is it supposed to be like some weird art style, or is it supposed to be like a kid's drawing that can't draw very well?
I think it's supposed to be some weird art style.
Okay. Yeah. great episode.
Hilarious. It's so well timed, all the jokes. I was laughing. I was definitely laughing.
Yeah, I think it just proves that JoJo's Bizarre Adventure isn't really like an action kind of big burly dudes fighting thing. It's more so just general weirdness and funniness.
Well, you're going to get big burly dudes fighting next episode.
Yeah, I guess they got to balance it out a little bit.
The preview looks epic as hell. I was I don't always watch a preview, but when I do, it seems to be a good one.
Yeah, like last week.
I watched that while we were recording with the sound off, so I got the gist. Especially now I've seen this episode, I gather.
Righty ho! That ends this week's episode of Let's Go JoJo. Be back here next week for Anubis Part 1. And in the meantime, check out our regular podcasts at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com and dynamiteinthebrain.com. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
With the hump, fat girls, thin girls. summer little plump. Slave girl sold here 50 bob a lump in the old bazaar in Cairo. Brandy, shandy, beer without a froth. Braces, laces, a candle for the moth. Bet you'd look a dolly in an old loincloth in the old bazaar in Cairo. You can buy most anything. Thimbles, fat cows, a little bit of string. You can purchase anything you wish. A clock, a dish, and something for your Auntie Fanny. Harem, scarem, what do you think of that? Benny, striptease, dancing on the mat. That's enough of that in the old bazaar in Cairo.